Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening together, to be in your presence and to study your word. We thank you for your goodness to us. The Bible tells us your goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And Lord, we are so grateful to experience your goodness today. We've seen your Son rise over us. We've taken your breath. You are the God who gives life and breath and all things. This is your goodness to us. And so we thank you for the blessing of your goodness abundantly poured out into our lives. We pray now that you bless our time together in your word, that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And these things I pray, submitting myself to the authority of your Holy Spirit, that he might speak to us through me and to bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, in our previous gathering together to learn from the Holy Word of God, we began digging deeper into Obadiah chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Obadiah is a one chapter book. There the Bible says these words, which I now recite to you again. So please pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit says there in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. The Bible says, if thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? Oh, how Esau will be ransacked and his hidden treasures searched out. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, and the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau? Then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Timan, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. So that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. This is the word of God to the people of God. And may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, the main idea of this passage I've just recited to you is this: God's righteous judgment of a proud nation is thorough and totally devastating. The proud nation of Edom suffered a crippling and crushing judgment at the hands of Adonai Yahweh, that is the Lord God. Well, the first major teaching presented to us in our passage of study was on the completeness of Edom's destruction in verses 5 to 6. God's judgment upon the proud nation of Edom was massive and mighty. It was comprehensive. It was a complete clearing out of Edom. Using two cases of plunderers, namely robbers or thieves and grape gatherers, God vividly illustrated how his approaching judgment upon the nation of Edom will lead to her complete destruction. You see, normally thieves or robbers and grape gatherers leave something behind when they do their business. In contrast, God says Edom will be thoroughly plundered, pillaged, destroyed, and devastated, with absolutely nothing remaining. Just as Edom acted as a thief, which we'll look at in our next passage, so her own hidden treasures will be hunted down or sought out in the day of God's complete destruction of her. Edom was ransacked and ruined forever as a nation, sending a strong message to all nations to beware of pride. Well, the second major teaching the Holy Spirit presented to us or brought to our attention in our previous study had to do with the conspiracy of Edom's allies in the day of her calamity in verse 7. In the midst of Edom's calamity, when she desperately needed support from all her allies, God predicted that she would be forsaken and betrayed. None of her trusted or loyal friends will be there for her in her great hour of need. And so it was that Edom's allies, those who were at peace with him, dealt cunningly, craftily, deviously, and deceitfully with her. In the end, Edom was left desolate, devastated, destroyed as a nation whose people are no longer living on our planet Earth. So in short, we've looked at the completeness of Edom's destruction. When God unleashed his righteous judgment upon Edom, nothing was left in her. At God's own instigation, Edom fell through the conspiracy of her allies. Those who enjoyed her bread betrayed her. But that's not all. To emphasize the total devastation decreed by God upon Edom, the Bible now speaks of the cutting off of Edom's inhabitants, including her leaders, in verses 8 to 9. So this is where we are going to pick up our study in this humiliating and heartbreaking passage of Scripture. Notice the Bible first speaks of the destruction of the wise men and understanding from Edom. We see that clearly in verse 8. Notice the Bible says, "Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau?" Well, picking up the catch word, understanding, from the previous verse, at the end of verse 7, the Bible says, there is no understanding in him. So, picking up that catch word of understanding, God himself declares that understanding will depart from Edom because all her wise men will perish. The Bible is saying, in order to give up the Edomites to utter destruction on the day that the Lord himself appointed, he, the Lord, will take away discernment from her wise men, so that even they will not be able to help the nation of Edom in the day of God's judgment. So the wise men will not be able to use their wisdom or their discernment or their understanding to help the nation of Edom during that time of God's judgment. Edom will manifest none of that discernment for which he had been renowned. Why? Well, the Bible tells us the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau will be destroyed. That's what God himself purposed to do. You see, the Edomites apparently enjoyed a reputation among the peoples of the ancient Near East as cultivators of wisdom tradition. In other words, Edom was known for her wise men and sages. Now let me ask you, if the question should be put to you, what is America known for today? What will you say? You see, in the time of Edom, they were known for their wisdom. So what is America known for today? What is the nation of the United States known for today? Well, think about that as we go along. Well, because of the information gleaned through the caravans going to and fro from Europe and India, Edom had gained an enviable reputation for wisdom. Access to international trade routes enabled the Edomites to acquire wisdom from abroad. They were noted for wisdom. In other words, her location on the King's Highway, which comes from all the ways from Damascus all the way down to Edom in the south, that location provided Edom with intellectual stimulation from India, Europe, and North Africa. So they had interaction with a lot of people and were able to gain wisdom. Now, here's something very important I want to point out to you. I must, at this point, point out to you that there is a difference between human wisdom and divine wisdom or God's wisdom. The Bible itself speaks of these two kinds of wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Here the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, who also pride themselves in their wisdom, needed to hear that there is a difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." So the Bible is telling us here that there are two kinds of wisdom, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. You see, the Edomites may have been wise in the ways of the world. In other words, they had the wisdom of the world, but they were foolish because they ignored the God of true wisdom. How sad life was for Edom in the day of God's judgment. They didn't have God's wisdom, and now God withdraws Edom's human wisdom from her, and her wise men all destroyed. Now please notice that God himself says that he will destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mountain of Esau. I tell you, friends, only a God of absolute and sovereign power can make such a declaration and actually do it. Who have you heard of late who has said, "I will destroy the wisdom of America and understanding from the mountain of America"? There's nobody who can do that. But if God says, "I want to do that," no one can stop him. Well, that was the case with Edom. God says, "I will destroy your wise men and understanding from the mountain of Esau." The Hebrew word translated destroy is a very, very powerful word. In the Hebrew, it is avad. avad. It also means cause to perish in judgment. Be exterminated in judgment for sin. Put to death in judgment. Annihilate, wipe out, be ruined, perish in judgment. It is the same word that is used of God's judgment of Korah and company when the earth opened up and swallowed them up alive. In Numbers chapter 16, we have God, or the Bible, using the same word of destruction to the people who rose up against Moses and said Moses was bossing them and ruling them, and that they too should be given authority to rule and lead the people. In Numbers chapter 16, I'll start from verse 31. It says, as he finished speaking all these words, that is Moses speaking, finished speaking all these words, the Bible says the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up alive, swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they all, and all that belonged to them, went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished. That's the word. And they perished from the midst of the assembly. So that word gives us a sense or a picture of the destruction God predicted to bring upon the wise men of Edom. I tell you, folks, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The wise men of Edom had no chance of escaping the judgment of God upon them. They were wiped out. They were exterminated in God's judgment. They perished in judgment. Their wisdom was not able to deliver them from God's judgment, let alone deliver the people of Edom from God's judgment. What a warning this sends to those who trust in their own wisdom and ignore God's wisdom. I tell you, friends, human wisdom will not be able to deliver anyone from God's future judgment. If I rely on my wisdom to outwit God, I am setting myself up for destruction. That is basically what the Bible is saying. So God's judgment on Edom will not only result in the destruction of the wise men of Edom and understanding from the mountain of Edom, of Esau, but it will also bring dismay to her mighty men or warriors in Teman, and a cutting off of everyone. This is what the Bible now speaks to us about in verse 9. So on that day when God judges the Edomites, not only the wise men will be dealt with, but also the mighty men, the warriors. So just picture the wise men in this land, and picture the mighty men in this land. Who will you call today are the mighty men in this land of America? Who are the mighty men? We probably would talk about the military. They are the mighty men. They have the big guns. They fight for this land. Well, we'll talk about that in the conclusion of this message. The Bible says in verse 9 of this mighty men, then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. Now Jeremiah chapter 49 verse 22 also speaks of the mighty men of Edom. So in Jeremiah chapter 49 The Bible speaks of this same mighty man. It says, "Behold, he," referring to God, "will mount up and swoop like an eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. And the hearts of the mighty men of Edom in that day will be like the heart of a woman in labor." The heart of the mighty men of Edom will be like the heart of a woman in labor. The powerful men of Teman, the Bible says, will be dismayed or fall into despair. The Bible is saying there will be no help in Edom's defense on that day of God's judgment. So the Bible says, "Then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman." Now someone asks, where is Teman? Well, Teman was an important city of Edom. It was located just 5 miles northeast of Petra. You may have heard of this city, Petra, which was the capital city of Edom. So if you want to get a sense of where Teman is, go 5 miles northeast of Petra, and there you'll find Teman. The name Teman means south or on the right hand. It is used here as a synonym for the whole country. Now, which city is used in America to represent the whole of America? Well, New York. I mean, if you talk about the politics and economics, maybe you go to Washington. But if you talk about the way people live, then you go to New York. So the same thing is happening here. Teman is representing the country of Edom. So it refers to Edom as a south land in comparison to Israel. Jeremiah, in his prophecy against Edom, mentions the wisdom of the Temanites in particular. They were celebrated for their wisdom. So we go again to Jeremiah 49 in verse 7. He speaks about these people. "Concerning Edom, thus says the Lord of hosts, is there no longer any wisdom in Teman? Has good counsel been lost to the prudent? Has their wisdom decayed?" So the Temanites were known for their wisdom, and that represents the whole of the country of Edom. That the Temanites were celebrated for their wisdom is evident not only from this passage in Jeremiah, but also from the fact that Eliphaz, the chief opponent of Job in argument, was a Temanite. Remember when Job had his problems, when Satan incited God to test Job, 3 friends came to comfort Job. One of them was from this city of Teman. So let's read Job chapter 2, verse 11. There the Bible tells us a little bit of the Temanites. "Now when Job's 3 friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, they came each one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him." And the man who led the 3 friends was from Teman, this city of Edom. Actually, Teman was named after the grandson of Esau in Genesis chapter 36, verse 11. The Bible is saying, in the day of God's judgment upon Edom, the brave warriors of Teman will lose their courage. The heroes of Edom will fall into despair. They will be filled with terror. They will be terrified. They will be shattered under divine judgment. The wise and powerful men of Teman will be dismayed simply because the Lord has purposed, or the Lord purposed, to cut off everyone in Edom by slaughter. Now please understand that this language is graphic. The Bible says, I will cut off everyone from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. Now that's a graphic language. But please understand that I didn't come up with that. I'm not putting words in God's mouth. God himself boldly and bluntly said so. And that is why at the end of verse 9, he says, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. The Bible is saying God himself will inflict his righteous judgment upon Edom with the intention that all the Edomites will be cut off, cut down, chopped down, wiped out. The lives of the Edomites will be destroyed by God. They will be put to death by the sword of God in his judgment. Actually, the Hebrew word translated slaughter is used only here in the entire Old Testament. The Hebrew word is for the word slaughter is ketel. It's used only here. God used this word only in his predicted judgment of Edom. And he hasn't used it for any other nation. He used it for Edom, and today Edom is not with us. All the Edomites, God says, will be cut off by slaughter, or ketel in the Hebrew. So God literally did that. That is why today there is no nation on the map of the world named Edom. Countries like Israel, Egypt, Libya, Syria, Ethiopia, Arabia, which were all mentioned along with Edom, are still on the map, but not Edom. Please check your map today to see that for yourself. Why is Edom not on the map today? Well, it's because God had executed his righteous judgment on Edom, completely destroying them and cutting them off for their pride. Please, let's be reminded today of this simple yet significant teaching. God's righteous judgment of a proud nation is thorough and totally devastating. That is why I say to you, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Neither Edom's political acumen nor its military strength could prevent God's thorough and devastating judgment of her. History tells us that within 4 years after Jerusalem was burned, Edom was raided and desolated around 582 BC by the very same Babylonians whom they aided against Jerusalem. The few Edomites that were left after being crushed by the Babylonians were confined to a region south of Judea, where for four centuries they continued to exist as active enemies of the Jews. Then in 126 BC, they were subdued by John Hyrcanus, one of the Maccabean rulers, and were absorbed into the Jewish state. When Palestine was conquered by the Romans somewhere around 63 BC, the Herods, an Edomite family or Edomian family, were placed in control of Judah. And this was the last of the Edomites. With the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Edomites disappeared from history. In other words, they lost their existence as a nation, all because God judged them for their pride and cruel hatred of God's people. Folks, may I say to us, God can bring on America the thorough and totally devastating judgment he unleashed upon the proud nation of Edom. I tell you, friends, Adonai Yahweh, that is the Lord God, has power to bring ruin upon the great nation of the United States of America for her arrogance of heart. God is able to raise his cry of judgment over this country. Oh, how America will be ransacked and her hidden treasures searched out. I say to us today, God is able in his sovereign power and might to turn all our trusted and loyal allies of the United States against us in his judgment upon this land. If and only if this nation continues to choose the path of living without God, forgetting God, and walking in her pride. So I'm not preaching judgment on America. I'm preaching judgment if we choose the path of forsaking God, forgetting God, and walking in our pride. I tell you, my fellow believers in Christ, Adonai Yahweh, in his righteous judgment of this great nation, is able to cause all the neighboring countries, Canada in the north, Mexico in the south, that are at peace with us, to deceive us and overpower us or prevail against us. I tell you, folks, God is able to turn the hearts of the nations who have eaten our bread, or who have received food aid from us, or benefited from our economic prosperity, against us, to set a trap for us, even as he did for Edom. God is also able to destroy all the so-called wise men and experts from this land. He's more than able to destroy understanding from the mountain of America. And God is able to cause the mighty men or the military of the United States to fall into despair, to be filled with terror, and be shattered under his divine judgment, and many millions cut off or wiped out from this land. Please, let's make no mistake about this. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice, whose judgment of a proud nation is thorough and over and devastating. That is what happened to Edom, and that is what can happen to us. But the question is, since it hasn't happened to us, the question to you and to me is, are you praying that God's people in America, who are called by his name, will humble themselves before God and earnestly pray to God and wholeheartedly seek his face and truly turn from their wicked ways, such as our pride, our false sense of security, our self-sufficient spirit, living a life without God at the center, forsaking God, forgetting God? If you are praying this prayer, God has a promise for you. His promise is then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. But if we are not praying for America in this way, let's not be surprised if God's judgment falls upon her. I pray today that it will not be on your watch or mine if judgment should come upon this land. Yesterday was the National Day of Prayer, where people prayed in different places for the nation of America, for the leaders, all the way to the people in society. And one of the things I prayed with the men I gathered with for a Bible study Thursday night was this very prayer, praying that God will humble us before Him, that we will earnestly pray to Him and wholeheartedly seek His face and truly turn from our wicked ways, so that God will shower or continue to shower His blessing upon this nation, this great nation that God has raised up for this generation. Well, let's pray as we've come to the end of this message. Lord in heaven, I thank you for the reminder of what you did to the nation of Edom. You did it as an example, a warning to all other nations that we will not walk in pride before a holy and righteous God. And Lord, again, I pray for this nation of America, that the people who are called by your name in this nation will humble themselves, including us here in this gathering today, will humble ourselves before you, and that we will pray to you earnestly, that we will continue to seek your face, and that, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you enable this nation from the top to the bottom, from the president to the poor worker in a coal mine, Lord, we turn from our wicked ways, our pride, our self-sufficient spirit, our living a life without God at the center. Lord, our forgetting of you. I pray that we will turn away from these sins and that you will shine your face upon this land and continue to bless this land and use this land to advance your kingdom purposes. I pray this with thanksgiving, thanking you that you will use these words of your humble servant to encourage your people to call upon your name in true repentance and a desire to know you and to serve your purpose. And now I pray your blessing upon your people. The Lord, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
29.